Today, reading the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, we read the genealogy of Jesus. Now, I must admit, it's not usually much of a source for personal meditation. But the genealogy is not just there so that the priest or deacon sweats as they have to pronounce all these names at the vigil mass on Christmas. Indeed, both Matthew and Luke include genealogies of Jesus, and they have a purpose. To set the context, to begin to answer the question that's at the forefront of the mind of the reader who encounters these Gospels for the first time. Who is this Jesus? Where does he come from? In Matthew, the genealogy serves as a kind of heading for the entire Gospel, opening the Gospel and the infancy narrative. Luke, on the other hand, will place it in chapter 3, after the infancy narrative, but before Jesus begins his public ministry, a kind of public presentation of Jesus. For Matthew, two names are significant, Abraham and David. The story of God's promise begins with Abraham, the father of the Jewish people. The letter to the Hebrews rightly presents Abraham as a man of great faith. Especially remember that story where he was willing to sacrifice his own son because he trusted God's promise. A promise of an inheritance and a sonship. A promise not just that he would inherit a land here on earth that's been a source of conflict in the Middle East for 4,000 years now. No, something much better. Abraham is a pilgrim on a journey towards a future promise, an eternal home. That is the promised land we, too, seek and await. But in particular, Matthew's genealogy and the history it summarizes focus on the figure of David, king of Israel, to whom a promise was made, the promise of an eternal kingdom. In 2 Samuel, your throne shall be established forever. Matthew's genealogy sees a fulfillment of this promise in the person of Jesus, the king who is last in the Davidic line. Although obviously not a king the way many were expecting. This is made clear by the note that Matthew puts at the end. How there are 14 generations from Abraham to David, 14 from David to the Babylonian captivity, and again 14 generations to Jesus. In Hebrew, every letter corresponds to a number, and the Hebrew letters of the name David add up to 14. And so this genealogy, there's a David and a David and a David. The entire lineage in Matthew's gospel bears this imprint of David, his name and his promise of an eternal kingdom. The genealogy is already proclaiming Christ as king. The one to whom all history looks and whose throne is to endure forever. Well, of course, tracing the male line, there are four women included, mentioned by name, Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, and the wife of Uriah. Why are they included? Some will point out that the four women were sinners. And of course, Jesus came to take upon himself the sins of the world, his mission to save sinners. But Pope Emeritus Benedict believes it was a different reason these women were mentioned. None of them were Jewish. God's providence entered into the lives of each of these Gentile women and brought them to be included in the genealogy of Jesus. Because it makes manifest how his mission is to save both Jew and Gentile. Of course, there's one other woman mentioned, the most important one, Mary, who comes at the end of the genealogy and truly marks a new beginning. Because we know how the formula changes. It always says Abraham is the father of Isaac, Isaac the father of Jacob, Jacob the father of Joseph, and so on. But at the end, it doesn't say Joseph, the father of Jesus. No, it says Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. Because, of course, Mary has conceived by the Holy Spirit. Her child does not originate from any man. But Joseph is still very important. He is the legal father of Jesus. And so it is through him that Jesus belongs to the house of David. Yet he comes from above, from God himself. This mystery of his dual origin confronts us with the reality that only God is his father. Now, if you were to take a look at Luke's genealogy and compare it to Matthew's, you'll find that only a handful of the names are the same. They don't even agree on who the father of Joseph was. How can this be? Well, Pope Benedict simply notes they used two different traditions or sources, and that it's futile to try and construct one genealogy out of the two. He says, neither evangelist is concerned so much with the individual names as with the symbolic structure within which Jesus' place in history is set before us. The intricacy with which he is woven into the historical strands of the promise, as well as the new beginning which paradoxically characterizes his origin side by side with the continuity of God's action in history. Again, what is their intention? To show this historical context of Jesus coming from Abraham in David's case, and as we'll see, from Adam in Luke's case. And also to show this continuity of God's action in history, what we call God's providence and God's revelation. God is working until the fullness of time and his son comes. As I mentioned, a primary difference between the two, unlike Matthew, Luke goes back not just to Abraham, but to Adam. He starts with Jesus and traces his ancestry back to the very beginning of human existence, son of Enos, son of Seth, son of Adam, the son of God. And so when Jesus comes in the fullness of time, for Luke, this is a very decisive hour. He is the new Adam in a radical way. Yes, Adam is created by God, but Jesus is truly God's son. Tracing it back to Adam shows, of course, Jesus' humanity. And the genealogy now promises how humanity starts afresh in Jesus. Pope Benedict concludes chapter 1 of Jesus of Nazareth, which looks at these genealogies, by pointing out how the Gospel of John has no genealogy or infancy narrative. But rather, in John there is a prologue that seeks to answer the same questions as Matthew and Luke. Who is Jesus? Where does he come from? God grandly and emphatically answers this question about the identity of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He literally pitched his tent with us. Jesus is the true beginning and source of all things. He comes from God. He is God. And he gives a new beginning. As John prologue says, for to all who receive him, who believe in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And so John interprets for us a deeper meaning to the genealogies. He wants us to understand not only the origin of Jesus, the new Adam, the new David, who was born of the Holy Spirit from the Virgin Mary, spouse of Joseph. He also wants us to know our own genealogy. How our own true birth comes from faith in Jesus. From Christ, through faith in him, we are now born of the Father. Children of God, that is what we are. And so we too now have hope of a new inheritance, a promised land, eternal life with him. To Jesus Christ be all glory forever. Amen.